To read today are in John verses chapter 20 verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Pastor Alan Jin has been a ministry friend since our days together at Dallas Theological Seminary in the late 70s. As a matter of fact, I think I've shared the story before, but my wife Eileen and myself grew up near Detroit, Michigan, and even though our parents were from China, we grew up in a suburb that was 99.9% Caucasian. And so our early Christian experience was always with Caucasian churches. As a matter of fact, when we were at seminary in Dallas, we did not even know what an ABC was. We actually had to learn that, and how God taught us that, and how God led us into English-speaking Asian ministry was primarily through two individuals, and one of them is Pastor Alan Jin. And so we've been friends for about 40 years, and Pastor Alan served as pastor at the Chinese Grace Bible Church for about 30 years until he retired from that ministry and then went into missions. Has been with the LRI, that's the Leadership Resources International, for 9 years already. Does a lot of ministry overseas, so we're really delighted to have Pastor Alan and his wife Bev with us here this morning. Pastor Alan?
Wow, it's good to be here again, and good to see some old faces as well as new faces, and thank Pastor Luz for this opportunity of coming and sharing. I thought what would be good is to provide a kind of a brief update of ourselves and our ministry, so I'll take a few moments to do that before we get into the message of God's Word. So we'd like to welcome you on our journey, and it is a journey. Started nearly 9 years ago, exactly 9 years ago, okay, when I left Chinese Grace and joined up with, as Pastor Lewis mentioned, LRI. And we'd like to give an update of our family. This picture was taken less than a week ago, and my son on your far right and his wife next to him, and then their two daughters. One is going to be 4 this coming June. The other turned 2 this last week. And they are serving up in the state of Washington, south of Olympia. He's a pastor at a church. He's been there for almost 2.5 years. What's exciting with them is that God has laid on their heart, and they will be taking steps. They've already passed all the paperwork, the home study, and the documents have been sent to the country of Kyrgyzstan, which is one of the Central Asian countries, and they're planning on adopting children there, and they're planning on adopting siblings, not just one, but 2. And so it can happen within a month, depending on the match, or it could happen within a year. And so that's part of our family, and if you want more information, you're welcome to, you know, talk to my wife or I during the refreshment time. Our other two siblings are our daughter, Carissa. She's a school teacher in East Oakland, the hard part of the city, working in a charter school. And she has been there for, this is her second year. Prior to that, she was in Shanghai for 3 years teaching, also third grade as well. And then our youngest son, who graduated last year, and he's unemployed. And he's looking for a job. He's been back here since middle of last summer and applying to the state jobs and whatever you have. So nothing has shown up, so he's eating us out of house and home. Okay, that's kind of the latest. And of course, Bev, she continues to carry on a ministry with other ministry wives, and also a prayer ministry, and also a women's ministry. I serve as the regional director for Asia. Asia is a large region, so let me narrow it down to China, Nepal, India, Bhutan, Bangladesh. I think I covered it, yeah. And Asia is in a location that is known as the 1040 window. Okay. Click. Oh, person. Okay, well, let's back up to that frame, please. It's in prior frames. It's in a 1040 window, means 10 degree north and 40 degrees south, and encompasses what is known as your thumb. All of us have two thumbs, but the thumb represents tribal people, the largest group of tribal people. The H stands for Hindu, of which the country of India is highly populated with Hinduism, as well as Nepal, followed by the letter U, which is unevangelized, followed by M, which is Muslim. The country of Bangladesh is Muslim. And then the last is the letter B, which represents, what is it? Buddhism, okay, of which Bhutan is heavily Buddhist, as well as some of the other areas. That's the 1040 window, so it gives you an idea of that region. Okay, Grace. Recently, in January, we graduated a group of people from Nepal, and in their since their graduation, along with others, we've been able to see, in the next picture, in the country of Nepal, over 130 other people in the central and eastern part of Nepal on the map being trained. And we're talking about pastors and church leaders. And then in the eastern part of Nepal, with over 60 pastors and church leaders. So we see a movement of multiplication taking place in regards to that work. Nepal is a landlocked country between China and India, and many of you heard from last year of the earthquake situation that has occurred there. So they've been put on the map in the eyes of many people, and so as well as yours. Okay. The country of India is a huge country, second only to China, with a population of about 1.3 billion. And we are in various places. As you see on your left-hand side of the screen, we're looking into the state of Punjab, Bihar, West Bengal, and then the bottom in the city of Chennai. And so so India is yet to be an untapped region in regards to the training opportunities we have. And we hope to bring that to the people there. Then the next country is well, let me share a story in India of church planting. Go back to that one with the picture. The brother in the middle, who's the tallest one standing, okay, he's one of our trainers. And in the course of his training, he's gathered a group of people, church leaders and other pastors training, and he has planted a church. The person on your far right of the screen, he is the first believer among a group of people that is known as the Sun Worshippers in the northeastern part of India. And the person on the far right, far left of your screen, is the pastor of this new church that has been planted. And it's about a little under 2 years old, and they have close to over 100 people right now meeting together and worshiping, you know, the Lord. And it's through this brother named Stephen, who's part of our training, that he's done that work. And then let me take you briefly to the country of Bangladesh, which is where I'll be going in less than a week from now. Bangladesh, its capital is Dhaka, and then we'll be there for a week, and then the following week we'll be in a city called Chittagong. And what's great about our involvement in this country of Bangladesh is the partnership we have with two very important ministries that are there already. One is what is called the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, which we know in America as InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And then the other is with Wycliffe Bible Translator, and they're called Scripture Publication there in Bangladesh. So our ministry is one of partnership. We're not isolationists. We're not separatistic. We want to be partnering with those that carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever country, whatever context we're in. And so we're excited to do that. I was there last year in the next picture, where we started with a group in Dhaka, and now we're expanding that to also go to the city of Chittagong as well. Okay. And then, of course, the big country of China, and this is where it probably touches your heart in one way or another. And in the city of Beijing, we recently graduated a group of people, and we've drawn them together, and we call them mentor trainers. And in the course of their work, along with others, we have been able to see a brother named Timothy, who's trained over 7 different groups, and another brother named Peter, who's formed 14 groups, and these are the different locations of the training taking place. And then another brother named Luke, and he has formed 7 different groups. So we see, once again, not just getting the training, but learning to see how it can be passed on to others as well, which is very, very important in the whole concept of multiplication. There's no way you can reach the country of China with the Word of God unless you train and they go out and train others. And so that's what we have here. One of the newest venues we have is found in the northeast part of China, in a city near Helen, in the city of Harbin, in the province of Heilongjiang. Okay, and in this group, which we started last year as well, here's a brief picture of it. If you look more closely up in the front, you might recognize the person up there. He's part of your mission family. It's Justin Chang. So Justin has asked to partner with us, even though he's involved with Youth with a Mission, to come to China. And so he's doing that last year, and he'll be joining me later in the month of May as well to go back there to this group in regards to the training that is taking place there. Here's another picture of a shot of the group that is taken, and so this is only a small portion of this new venue that we have there in the northeast part of China. And just to draw a story, one of the brothers that we worked with already in this group, his name is Hao, he was so excited after we just went through the book of Jonah that he went out and just right away started training. And there's 3 groups that he did in last year in July and in the month of October as well. And you can see the dates and the locations. So he's caught the vision of not just getting something, which is easy for us to always want, but learning to give it out. And so he's passing it on. And Hao, as we see, is one of the top leaders in that group. So we're very excited for his enthusiasm and his commitment to this. So let me just throw up a few things that you can pray and rejoice with us in. First of all, pray for the newest group in China that we have. It's going to probably entail maybe about 35 people, so it's a fairly large group. Secondly, pray for a partnership that would help us in the financing of this group. We go back to them usually 2, possibly 3 times a year, so it costs about $2,500 for the year. And so pray for God to move in people that want to partner in this investment of training other people. Thirdly, for Justin and I, as I mentioned earlier, he'll be joining me in May, and then later on as I go back in the summer and the fall to this group. Okay. And we want to give praise to God for him watching over Bev and our family. Right now, Bev's big responsibility is being a caregiver to her 94-year-old mother, and I'm sure many of you can identify with that. She's not at a point where we want to put her into any type of elderly care home, so she comes over our house for a few days, and then she's at her place, and we have a caregiver there. So, and finally, we want to give praise for how God has opened new doors in this vast region of Asia, and how God is bringing people that are partnering with us in prayer. So, in closing, both Bev and I want to thank you not just only for your prayers for us, but also I know this past Christmas you sent a very generous gift, and we appreciate that. So we want to thank you for that partnership, and we continue to want to just affirm your support for us over these last many years, as well as our participation with this church as well. Okay. With that in mind, let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get into God's Word. Father, we thank you for how you bring brothers and sisters and even churches to join together with us, not in what we're doing, because what we're doing is really secondary to what you're doing. And we thank you, Father, that we have a part in this vast area of the 1040 window there in Asia, and specifically in two of the largest populated countries of the world, and that makes up nearly 40% of the world's population. And so I just pray that I've been able to be the eyes and the ears and the feet and the hands to this group as I've shared it with these people here this morning. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we ask for your guidance and your grace, and we commit the rest of this morning to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know that magazines like Newsweek and Time and people like Barbara Walters always have what is called a person of the year. And in Times last year was the Chancellor of Germany, Merkel. And then this coming year, Time also talked about a potential person of the year, Adele. Okay, I think some of you know. Tonight is the Oscar, and many of us, you know, will turn to it. And what do we want to see? We want to see who is the best actor, the best actress, the best supporting actor, the best supporting actress, and of course, what is the best movie of the year. In all of this, you know, we're focused on, you know, the person that makes great impact. Like, I like to share with you of a person who has a violent temper, quite judgmental. He's literally has called upon God to strike down people and send them to hell. And over time, he was changed. He was transformed by God's word as well as meeting up with Jesus Christ. And he began to incorporate words like love, grace, life, comfort. He still had the other aspects of his vocabulary like judgment and death and darkness, but he became more balanced. His temperament became controlled by Jesus Christ. And who's the person I'm talking about? It's none other than the Apostle John. Yeah, the one who wrote the Gospel of John as well as a number of other books in the rest of the New Testament. In fact, he's the one who penned that most familiar verse of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Okay. Written around, maybe around 85 AD, John has been the most simple of all the Gospels to read. And that's why people have handed out the Gospel of John to other people, because it's so simple to read. In fact, I share with Pastor Lewis of a little booklet called The Life Book. It's on the Gospel of John, and I've given him a box. If you'd like to find out more about it, how it can be shared with others, it's especially catered to youth, but even an adult can read it and even share it with other youth as well, especially with your ministry in the basketball here at CCC. It'd be a great tool in the area of sharing the Gospel of John to people. At the same time, the Gospel of John is foundational book for new Christians, okay, where we go into it and read it and find out what God has to say. And oftentimes when we open the Gospel of John, we start at the beginning, okay, in chapter 1. But I want to take you to the Gospel of John, to the end of the book, to chapter 20, and to the verse that you read, and it's also printed for you in your bulletin. And let's look at it one more time again in the moments that I have. It's printed for you in your notes, so let's read it together, okay? John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. Okay, all together? "Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of the disciples." Oh, okay, I guess we'll use your version up there. Okay, let's try it again. "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, from the NIV version. And basically, the Gospel of John's aim is to give us the purpose of the gospel so that people would go to him and grow in him. The purpose of the gospel is given clearly here in these two verses. And three things come out that I want you to see. The three things are signs, believe, and life. Signs, believe, and life. And it's interesting that the word signs appears in the Gospel of John no less than 16 times. If you read through the book, you should circle that word signs, okay? Signs or miraculous signs, okay? It appears when Jesus turned the water into wine. That's the first sign. It appears when he heals a nobleman's son in chapter 4, which is the second sign, okay? So signs are important. And why are they important? Because they point to what Jesus did in order to prove who he is. What he did in light of who he is. The two come together. And in the back of your bulletin, you kind of see some things that are listed as to what he did as well as who he is. That's the significance of having signs. Okay. The second word I want you to see is the word believe. And it's interesting that it's mentioned here two times in verse 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, okay? And the idea of belief or faith is used no less than 98 times in this Gospel of John. So somehow or another, John is saying, hey, I got an important word to tell you. And that's the word believe. Some translates it as faith or trust. Whatever the case might be, it's a significant word. You know how it is when you raise up children and you want to tell your son or daughter something, and you would say it to them not just once, but maybe twice, and sometimes even three times. Well, here in the Gospel of John, it's mentioned 98 times. It's a significant word because it's not just a word about believe up here, mentally, but it's believing down here. So that whenever the Bible uses the word believe or faith, he's talking about a decision that comes from down here, not just a mental nodding of the head and agreeing. A year and a half ago, my wife and I went to fulfill one of our bucket lists. And maybe some of you have a bucket list. And what is that? We went to Niagara Falls. And some of you have been there before. And whether you're on the Canadian side or on the American side, the Niagara Falls is one of God's wonders of the world. Okay, it's natural. It's powerful. It's just a place where you go and walk and just see the creation of God as well as the power coming together. Well, in one location in the fall, there's a display of courage. It mentions about a man by the name of Jean Francisco Gavalet, and we know him as Blondie. Because back in 1859, he walked across the fall in that area, and it took him 17 minutes. And he did it in such a way that an audience gathered and saw what he did. Well, everybody saw it, and everybody believed he did it. But what was the thing that he did that tested their belief, their faith? He asked one of the onlookers, if you saw what I did, do you believe I can do it? The answer by that person was, yes, I do. So the next thing Blondie did was he invited the person to climb up on his back so that he would walk that person across. And that person said, no way. For some of us, we just believe only the first way. We see it, I believe it. And God's word says the way we believe is not just only to see it in our head and believe it, but to say, yeah, I'm going to jump on your back and let you carry me cross. And some of us have yet to allow Jesus Christ to carry us across from death to life, from hell to heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's what the Gospel of John is bringing across when he talks about belief. And I trust all of you will come to that type of belief, not in the head, but with your will, from your heart. The third word that is here is the word life, okay? And it's mentioned for us in verse 31 that you may have life in the name of Jesus. You know, in the Bible, there's three types of words for life. The first word is biological life, bios, okay? It's the physical, biological life that we all have. And one day, this body of ours will die and will decay. The second word that is used for life is the word psyche, and we get the word psychology, and that's emotional life, okay? But the third word that is used here, is the word zoe, where we get the word zoology. So the word that is used here is not just biological life or emotional life, it's spiritual life. Jesus Christ coming, and his purpose for coming, is that we might have eternal or everlasting life, okay? The value of biological and emotional life is very important. That's why we have medical doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists. But something even greater is spiritual life, okay? So that in John 3:16, you might not perish, but have zoe life. Life that doesn't start when you die, but life that starts while you're still living, because Jesus Christ has come into your life. Your theme as a church is to better experience and share God's love. And that comes through having Jesus in your life. And as you have him in your life through an act of faith in trusting him, then he will give you that love and life to share with other people. And that leads me to my second point. The different people of the Gospel of John that goes to Christ as well as grow in Christ. You see, the response of hearing this Jesus and his message is twofold. It's either you receive Christ or you reject Christ. Okay? To receive means to say, yes, I trust you. I climb on your back and let you carry me. The other is to reject or say no. But you know, sometimes some people are in the middle. They say, well, maybe not now. Maybe later on. Or maybe later when my life gets better. Or later when I retire. Or later when I finish school. Well, that's not how the Gospel of John operates. It's either you receive him, and by not receiving him, you're saying you reject him. And Jesus is always opening his arms to us to bring us in. Go back to John chapter 1 for a moment. And as John opens, he says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, speaking of a Christ. And then you jump down to verse 11. And this is what he says. He came, that's saying Jesus came to his own, that is to say his own people, the Jewish people. And they did not receive him. In verse 12, but to all who did receive him, even to the ones who believe in his name, guess what? He gave them the right, the authority to become a son and daughter, a child of God. You see? Receive, become a child of God. Not receive, you're not a son and daughter of God. And so the gospel kind of opens up and gives us all different types of people from various backgrounds. And let me give you an example. If you turn to John chapter 3, he talks about a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. And you might be familiar with the story. If not, read it. And Jesus confronts Nicodemus. Are you going to receive? If not, then you are rejecting. And then when you get to chapter 4, we have the Samaritan woman. What's her background? She wasn't a religious person. She was an adulteress. She was very loose in her sexual life. In fact, the husband that she's living with isn't even her husband. And then when you get to the end of chapter 4, you have not a religious person, not a immoral person, but you have a wealthy person, a nobleman, who comes to Jesus asking for the healing of his son. And so Jesus encounters different people in the gospel. And as you read through this gospel, you find that you and I are also part of that encounter as well. So the desire of Jesus, the purpose of the gospel, is to create a sense of trusting and believing in Jesus. And as we do so, we will go to him, and then we will grow in him. There's a movie that is similar to the illustration I gave to you about Niagara Falls. The movie is entitled The Walk. Maybe some of you have seen it. A week ago, our son, my wife, and I had a chance to see it. It's about a French man from Paris who was a typewriter. And he walked different wires in different places in France, but he wanted a greater challenge. And one day, as he was looking at the TV, he saw, at that time, the Twin Towers in New York City before it was destroyed. And he says, I am going to walk between these two towers. And he worked at it, and finally the movie unfolds how he literally did it. Okay, with a group of people helping him, he started with a string, followed by a longer, stronger string, then followed by a wire, and followed by a medium-sized wire, followed by a heavier wire, and so forth. And he strung it between the two buildings, and he walked the two Twin Towers. And of course, that happened all before 9/11. Okay, and so the faith that is generated is such that that it causes us not only to go to Jesus Christ, but needing to grow in him as well. And that leads me to my applications. And there are three I want to share with you. First of all, we need to have a belief that is receiving, okay? A receiving belief. Receiving Christ, yes, that's where we go to him. But we need to also be growing in him as well, okay? And as we grow in him, we step out of sometimes the zones that we have that are makes us comfortable. Back in the 1980s, when my wife and I, and at that time we had our oldest, only son, our faith became kind of comfortable, kind of easy, kind of predictable. And so we were both praying about how God might stretch our faith, okay? How we might have a faith that would be not only receiving of Christ, but growing in him. And so we prayed about it, and God opened the door in the summer of 1987. Where we left and went to the Philippines. And that was our first venture in a cross-cultural setting. It was in the summer, and it was hot, humid, in a location that was new to us. And we had a three-year-old son at that time. Talk about taking us out of our comfort zone, out of our home, out of our situation, and putting us into a place where our faith was tested. And that's what we always need to have, a perspective of seeing our faith tested. That's the idea of a receiving faith that reaches, continues to grow. Secondly, it needs to be a faith that is extending. What do I mean by extending? It needs to bear witness of what God has done in your life. Each of us are called to be a witness. That's the purpose of the signs that are in the life of Jesus. It was a testimony of him as to who he is and what he has done. Well, we are to be witnesses of what Jesus has done in our lives as well as who he is. Okay, and so like somebody says, your hands, your feet, your voice, your life is to be extending out to others, sharing the good news to people around you, talking about how Jesus Christ has worked in your life. And you don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be, quote-unquote, more than spiritual. You just have to be natural with people, okay? And as you do so, you are extending your faith. Pastor Lewis tell me, and in a couple weeks from now, you're going to have an opportunity where what you have an event called the Juk Festival. You know, it's an opportunity to bring people into a natural setting. A setting where, you know, you can invite people to come and then trust God to use literature, the testimony of somebody, or songs, or whatever the case might be, to give testimony because you want to see your belief and faith in Christ extended out. Finally, the last thing is a struggling faith. What do I mean by struggling? It's a faith that allows us to see that we are not perfect. We're still in progress. We're still growing. We're still developing. And as we are growing and developing, God is going to mature us and bring us into a greater sense of Christ-likeness. One of the beautiful things about the Gospel of John is the emphasis of the I ams. Okay? What he is, I am not. He is the source of life. That's why he's called the vine. He is the means to life. That's why he's the way and truth and life. He's the power to live life out. That's why he's the door. Okay? He's the sustainer of life. That's why he's called the bread of life. He is the protector and the provider in my life. That's why he's called the good shepherd. He is the guide in life. That's why he's called the light. And he's the guarantor of life, so that when you pass from this life, okay, he is the resurrection and the life. And so we all struggle, okay, on a daily basis of what happens in our lives. But as we allow Jesus Christ to have his place in our faith and trust in him, he'll grow us and he'll develop us even more and more to be like him. And so let's go ahead and close in prayer. And Father, if there's anyone here, possibly who have never been confronted with the good news of Jesus Christ, that he is a Savior, that he has come into this world to save people from their sin and their selfishness, and to give them meaning and purpose in life, that you might speak to that person. We thank you, Lord, for this community of faith, that you would continue to grow it, and as it struggles through its growth, that you are there, guiding the leadership, guiding the people through those struggles. We thank you that we have someone greater than ourselves, always in life's journey, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we not only go to him in faith, but may we grow with him in that faith as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.